Welcome to an interview with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's sitting here on my right. Would you say that you're generally to the right of me?
Yes, on all things political. You are more to the left, don't you think?
Yeah, you voted for Obama.
I voted for Obama. Yeah. I voted, oh my God, if you do it by votes, you crush me as a leftist. I don't think you've ever voted Democrat, have you?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Okay. I voted for Ghisardi.
And he is a Democrat. You're
That's
correct.
Right. Despite the strong green tone. Yeah. So today we're talking about your article titled Today's Lesson, Charters Do Not Outperform Unionized Schools, which appeared in the Reader on October 4, 2012. And in this article, you take some statistics and use them to demonstrate that some of the rhetoric around the high-performing charter schools in Chicago maybe is not so substantiated.
Well, I would go one step further, Dave. I would say that the rhetoric, not some of the rhetoric, the rhetoric is not substantiated in any way. In fact, a lie slash myth has been put out there that all good people should stand up against and denounce so that we can have an honest debate and discussion of what's in the best educational interest of our children, as opposed to this political fight that we're having. But anyway, that's the purpose of my article. As you know, it's the second one I've done. The first one had to do with ACT scores in high schools, and this one had to do with ISAT scores in grammar schools. And the ISAT is a standardized test that the state of Illinois forces upon school children. God help us all. The irony of all this, Dave, is I can't stand standardized tests. I didn't like to take them. And I certainly don't like the fact that they're used to determine how well schools are doing in teaching children.
Speaking of tests, you write that students can improve their standardized test scores. Students in Chicago public
Yes.
schools can improve their standardized test scores by taking special classes.
Right.
I presume you're talking about test preparation
Yes.
services like those for the SAT
Yes,
and the ACT.
Yeah.
So these services exist for the ISAT.
Yes.
They've cropped up.
Right.
What do you know about these services?
Just that they exist. I never sent my children to them. I don't know if they even existed in the dinosaur era when I was a student.
Did you classes in caves, right?
Yes. I find that the whole notion that you can take a class to prepare you to score higher on a standardized test that's supposed to determine what you know in terms of your educational advancement to help the school decide what's best for you is a total twist on the whole purpose. It makes a mockery of the whole standardized test. And so that would be the subject of another article. I just think you should just do away the standardized test at all. If they're no longer barometers of what a child needs to know to be a better student and a better person, then why give them at all? If it's just like a scam, just yet another scam in our system, of which there are so many, then we should get rid of it all together.
It doesn't look like we're going in that direction.
No, I know. Once again, I'm against the tides. Yes, the entire tide of history is in the other. More tests!
You write about a Tribune editorial that calls a particular charter school, the Fuentes Charter School, which is part of the UNO network, one in which students outperform those in neighborhood schools.
Yes.
And you prove that statement wrong.
Yes.
Did you ask the Tribune on what evidence they based that characterization?
You mean
Fuentes?
Actually call the Tribunal?
Did you ask?
No.
I realize it's almost a rhetorical question, isn't it?
Why would I waste my time talking to the Tribune? I mean, I presume they were instructed to write an editorial denouncing the union, you know, by somebody. The Tribune is just one of many. I mean, we remember Mark Kirk started me off on this path, the Senator Mark Kirk, who sent out a press release or some kind of statement saying that, what was it, 9 out of the 10 top scoring high schools in the city?
He was channeling our mayor.
Yes.
When he was a candidate.
Then Mayor Rahm weighed in, the best high school. Bruce Rauner, we talked about him last time, the hedge fund guy. People just say things that are totally not true.
Do you have any idea what evidence the Tribune based its statements on? Can you imagine?
No, I can't even begin to imagine. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt in this way. This canard has been stated and restated so many times that people have come to believe it. It's true.
So it's the big lie.
Yes, it's one of many lies. I don't know if it's the biggest of the lies. It's particularly infuriating because at the same time, these so-called reformers, and I really dislike using that word in any regards with the education movement, the reformers say, we only want what's best for the children. Well, you cannot say you want what's best for the children if you base what you think is best on the children on a lie. You got to take the time to see, well, which schools are doing better? And then you might come to the conclusion that, you know what, whether the teachers are unionized are not unionized is the least significant factor in what determines how a child does in school. And if it's the least significant factor, why then are we spending the most time and energy to fight unions? Why do we rank that at the head of the list? Well, obviously, you're doing that because destroying the union is more important than trying to figure out what's in the best needs of children.
Going back to the test scores, you have some critics that claim that you're not comparing apples to apples because when you use the test scores, you don't take into account things like the schools you're comparing to each other have certain differences, like you include selective enrollment schools. What do you say to those critics?
I find those critics beyond ironic, and I had dealt with this issue in the story. Those are the same people, in many instances, who subscribe to the George Bush School of Education, which says the following: poverty, parental involvement, neighborhood, crime in neighborhood, none of that matters. All children are capable of learning at the same pace if you just hold them accountable to the same standards. So I say, okay, if that's what you believe, why then when your little charters don't perform well, do you suddenly whine, well, our kids aren't as smart as the other kids. Our kids are poorer than the other kids. Our kids have more obstacles to overcome.
Somebody claims that their charter kids are not as smart.
If you base this solely on test scores, I'm saying that the charters, I point out that the charter schools are not performing as well as the others. And so then immediately the charter heads say, well, you can't compare us to the others. They're better than us. They're smarter than us. They're richer than us. Suddenly there are other factors involved in determining how a child performs in a test, a standardized test. So when the union schools say, well, you can't hold us accountable for our low test scores, the charter heads say, oh, that's a cop-out. What? How did Bush put it?
The bigotry of low expectations.
It's the bigotry of low expectations when you're saying that students in a regular neighborhood school that has a union workforce don't score well. But when you're talking about the test scores of charter schools, then suddenly you have to take into account all the factors that you're not supposed to take into account when you're judging the public schools. So I think that people who advance that argument just don't want to come to face with the fact that they're ideologues in a larger struggle to destroy union schools.
In your article, you say that tenure no longer exists in the Chicago public schools. And I have here the summary of the new teachers' contract between the Chicago Teachers Union and the Chicago Board of Education. This is stating that tenure is a factor in layoffs.
Wow. We found yet another contradiction in the way things are supposed to be and the way they are. Tenure, as most people take it, is a guarantee that once a teacher has a job, he or she has that job and cannot be fired. That's the way it's used conventionally, both by the people who endorse tenure or people who claim it's the single greatest factor for the poor performance of students in low-achieving schools. That is no longer the case in Chicago. We've discussed this. Actually, I think we actually wrote a story together on the whole issue of redefinition, one of my favorite little personnel maneuvers that emerged over the last 3 years, which effectively enables a principal to get rid of a teacher, no matter how much seniority he or she has, no matter how much tenured rights he or she supposedly has, by redefining their position. So that, as I always use, a position that's an English position now becomes English with a specialty in basket weaving, I think is the way I always say it, so that you can eliminate the tenured, quote-unquote, teacher and replace them with somebody else. Effectively, Ron Huberman got rid of tenure 2 years ago, or yeah. 3 years ago, two
2010.
Years ago. And it still exists. CPS still has the ability to redefine teachers. Teachers have been redefined out of jobs systematically since then. So there is no more tenure in Chicago.
Redefinition is your only basis for saying that tenure doesn't exist.
Tenure doesn't exist in that when you do a turnaround school. Tenure doesn't exist when you phase out of school because of size, like falling enrollment.
The new contract allows teachers to follow their students to a new school if it's been turned around.
To a certain degree, there's all sorts of levels. Once again, this is not tenure. This is not a permanent attachment to a job. Again, the detractors would say that you have your job for life and that's what's wrong. Well, you don't have your job for life. I wouldn't dismiss the significance of redefinition. It's a pretty significant factor in the lives of school teachers. And then, of course, there's just the way in which a principal can make a teacher's life so utterly miserable that the job's not worth keeping. So for those factors, I say tenure does not exist in Chicago the way people think it exists. So I don't even know why people put it out there as a cause for the poor performances of kids, the alleged poor performances of kids.
Because it still exists, but there are so many ways around it. As you're saying, for all intents, it doesn't exist.
For all intents and purposes, it doesn't exist. If something doesn't exist, it doesn't exist.
Sometimes a cigar is a cigar.
Yeah. If you can redefine a teacher out of his or her job, then tenure doesn't exist. So I say tenure doesn't exist, so let's stop using it as an excuse for why students aren't doing as well as we want them to do.
Well, that's all we've got time for. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
David, thank you.
You're welcome. If you'd like to hear more of our interviews, go to MrRadio.org, where you'll hear a reading from the Constitution.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic...
Where you'll find instructions how to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any of our interviews. Or you can go to iTunes and search for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.